today, I'm so glad that you are here on this Mother's Day. So many things happening today, but we have some special guests with us here today, some dear friends of our church. Now, many of you are new to our church, and you've never met Gary and Tammy Donahue. Gary and Tammy Donahue are friends of my wife and I. Our connection to bring us into Foursquare really helped us open the door for us to get into Foursquare, and was very integral part of helping Destiny Church get started. And so some of you come to today, you say, man, this is wonderful what's going on here, and we're growing every week and things are happening. But there was a time when we didn't have a building, we didn't even have a service, and we're just trying to vision cast what's going to happen. We didn't have any finances, we didn't know, but we're just producing the vision. And Gary and Tammy were a major part of that time of coming to us, helping us, train us, and helping us get the tools necessary to help get Destiny Church off the ground. And they were such a big part of that. They've been a big part of our church early on. It's been a while since they've had a chance to be here. And so today, we're glad to have them. They are our national women's ministries director and our national men's ministries director. And they are traveling all the time. They have a very busy travel schedule. But fortunately for us, they live in Northwest Arkansas. It's not that far from here. And so when I approached them about speaking today, they were more than gracious and said yes, they would love to come. And so today, I want you to give them a God bless as they come. Our friends and our national directors of women's and men's ministries, Gary and Tammy Donahue.
Well, it's a joy to be back in Destiny. It has been a while. And what is always exciting when we come back into a church that we've seen start from the beginning is to see all the new faces and chairs full that weren't full last time we were here. And just to see people come in and express their heart to the Lord and want to learn and grow and know more about Him. And so Gary and I are actually going to team teach today. We have found the joy of doing this, and so we want to share a message this morning on our hearts about one generation to another. And I think he had something he wanted to say to start.
Well, good morning. I wanted to say Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. And what a joy it is to have you. We're kind of at a strange place in our life with our moms. Our moms are a bit older, and I was talking to Bonnie this morning, and my mother has, about 9 years ago, we found out she had Alzheimer's, and found out things just kind of started leaving her memory and things. And I want to acknowledge everybody this morning that your mom's not here, or she might be here and not here, if some of you know what I mean by that. And my mother's in a really tough spot, but the other day she ended up in the hospital. And I had to end up spending the night. And in the middle of the night, she started taking the tubes out and doing all this kind of stuff, being a little objectional, kind of like I was when I was a kid. And I found myself being the parent and trying to help her out. And she looked at me in a way that reminded me of when I was 13 years old. And I thought, man, I am in trouble now. But I know for some that Mother's Day can be a tough time. But it can also be very precious memories. Very precious memories. So to all the mothers, whether present or with the Lord, we just want to wish you a happy Mother's Day, and I look forward, and hopefully this will be that safe message that we heard talked about early in the service. So here we go.
Many years ago when I began preaching on Mother's Day, I really quit talking a lot about just moms, because a lot of what Gary has said, sometimes for people to come to church on Mother's Day or Father's Day is a difficult thing because they didn't experience all the things we have a tendency to say on Mother's Day or Father's Day. And I began to really search my own heart about this because I was one of those. And what I've discovered is that there is supposed to be among the Church of Jesus Christ a household of faith. There's several metaphors that the Lord uses for His church, and one of them is family. A household of faith. And I found comfort in, if you're like me, one of those people that to think of family doesn't necessarily bring up this warm, fuzzy feeling for you, you need to know that the church is to become a family to us. If you're a first-generation Christian, what I'm going to say, what we're going to share with you this morning can start with you, and you can experience it among this household of faith. We want to talk to you this morning about generation to generation. Psalm 145 and 3 says this: generation after generation stands in awe of your work. Each one tells of your mighty acts. I'm finding today, as I enter my 49th year of life, on this Mother's Day particularly, that talking about this portion of Scripture is more special to me than it's ever been. I have two grown children. And this passage speaks to what I've discovered about parenting and what I hope to discover someday about grandparenting. My kids are being pretty slow about that whole process. But what I hope to discover about grandparenting, that the most important thing that I've done for my children and I will do for my grandchildren is to pass on to them the story of God. To pass on to them the story of God as I've experienced it in my life, as I've come to know it in His Scripture, as I've watched what He's done, because the story of God is the most important thing I can put in the next generation. And not only is it good for my children or for your children, we're actually commanded this. It's something that God set up from the very beginning. With Israel, He said to them, two important things I'm giving you responsibility over. I want you to remember, and I want you to pass it on. And matter of fact, He said, beware lest you forget. And part of storytelling is it reminds you of what God has done in your life. Every time you tell the story, something else happens in you. Every time you tell the story, another layer of healing comes in your own life. More praise comes out from your own heart from what God has done. So telling God's story is an important thing, and it's what He's talking about. Generation after generation will stand in awe of your works and tell of your mighty deeds. But I've learned something real important as I've gotten a little bit older. I don't have the right to talk to a younger generation just because I'm old. Now, we think we do, and Gary's going to share that with you a little bit. We don't have the right to just tell somebody. We earn that right, and that happens through relationship. And what we want to share with you this morning is something we believe deeply, and it's something I see in Destiny that I love, and it's a multi-generational church. We're not just supposed to be all young or all old. If we're a household of faith, there should be generations of people among us, and we need generations among us. But those generations, I don't know if you've noticed, but there can be a huge gap from generation to generation. I was talking to my daughter about that last night. She's 25 years old. She's our youngest. And I have recognized that their generation is different than my 70s disco generation. They do things just a little bit different, and they think just a little bit different. And if we are going to tell the story of God effectively from generation to generation, we must be in relationship with one another.
One of the things I've studied the last few years is age. I've been studying age. And you can see on my chin, there's a reason why I'm studying age. And I'm really fascinated with it, because what you see in God is God intends us to get old. Right? It's the intention of God that we get old. But He also has an intention on how we get old. As we grow older, we're supposed to be getting better. Looking for a few amens around. That's what that dramatic pause was, and the hand movement. It really is that. But here, check this out. That is very countercultural to our world, because our world, especially the United States, pushes everything down to getting young. If you're not looking younger, then you feel this pressure that you're not in. Well, you know, we're kind of in this middle stage, because this year I'm going to turn 50 this year, and I'm having a blast. I want to grow old with God. I'm learning what the Bible meant when it says, though this outward man perishes. I'm starting to understand what that means. I don't run like I used to run. I do not jump like I used to. We're playing hoops here a few months ago in a men's retreat, and I jumped and my feet didn't get off the ground. It was an amazing thing. There was a time in my life, and I could go off on that, and I could show you some pictures of headbands, short shorts, and me dunking a basketball. There was a time, and sorry if you are visual and I just gave you a bad picture, forgive me of that. But it's the intention of God that as we grow older, that we fall more in love with Jesus. And here's what it means to finish well. The only thing I'll say, I teach this quite a bit. Finishing well means this: I'm more in love with Jesus at the end of my life more than any other time. That's what it means to finish well. That means I've got to go. I've got to know God now at this stage of my life. Not just go on what I've known, but I've got to keep that fresh relationship with God right now. Not pass on culture to my children, but pass on the faithfulness of God. So when their culture is shaping them different, they'll still hear my stories so that they know that God will be faithful to them in the world that they're living in, just like God was faithful to me when I was their age. We pass on the stories of God, not the ways we did it. Yeah, with that, you're catching on. I want you to look at a quote. There's a quote I want you to see. It's from Cicero. It's really a great quote. It says this: "Give me a young person in whom there's something of the old, and an old person with something of the young. Guided so may grow old in body, but never in mind." We should never grow old in our minds. Go to the next slide, if you would. We're going to have this several times. I want you to look at this. Tammy did a great job of putting this together. I mean, we even got the family dog on the far right down there. But she did a great job of showing that, because that should reflect every church. That does reflect our society. But unfortunately, sometimes we're not together because we get hung up. Listen, if you walk in the light as Jesus was in the light, and if I do the same thing, then we will have fellowship. But if we talk about how I did it when I was your age and how you're doing it now, we will not have fellowship. We will have fighting. Can I get a witness in the room? Listen, it's not about the ways, it's about the who. Capital W, it's about Him. You can grow older without becoming an elder. But shaped by God over a lifetime, that your perspective changes, lined up with Scripture and what God is saying to you by a fresh, vibrant relationship with Jesus, causes you throughout a lifetime, you become an elder. And I'll only say this to you, the last thing I'll say on that is this: the older you get, the less you need to say. Because you're still here. And your life says, "I'm still here." One of the most powerful things about a sage, about an old person that's been shaped by God, is your very presence. Just that you're still here. It is so cool to have old people around. Amen? It is cool to have old people around. You know, the next slide says this, and it's something that old people can say to young people. Old people can say to all the young people, "You are our future." And if there's anybody, say 50 and older, would you say that about the young people? They are the future of the church. They're the future. They're the present leaders, but they are the future. But you know what? The young people, you can say the same thing to the old people. You are our future. God wants you to get old. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He wants you to experience life. He wants you to see some things. God wants you to hang around and see how He intervenes. When everybody thinks the world's falling apart, God will intervene. He wants you here. He wants you to get old. So old can say to the young, and young can say to the old, this statement: we are all each other's future in different contexts. But we need to remember that we are one another's future. The Bible says this: "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you," listen, "to make you old." That's what God is saying. I want to give you a future. I want to bless you. I want to prosper you. I want you to experience me over a lifetime. I think this is great preaching. I really do. So if you're listening, I tell you what, this is a little challenging. Let me challenge you on something. How do you think about old people? You can find out how you feel about old people by just listening to your opinions. Listen to the thoughts in your brain. And I'm telling you, when they're not complimentary to getting old, you've bought into an American Western culture of Christianity and not a biblical one. God's intention is that. You know what? There's some things you can't do till you get older. What's ironic, your body can't do what you used to do when you were younger. But you can't give some of the advice. Tammy and I celebrate 30 years this year of marriage. Isn't that great? 30 years. I think that's the first time people have ever clapped like that. But check, you know why you clapped? You honor age. you're honoring longevity. What you don't know is you're honoring long suffering on her part toward me. Generations, generation to generation. The Bible says this. Look at what God says. You shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. Hallelujah. Older people, don't just quit listening to younger people that don't know yet. They don't know. They can't help it. They don't know. Don't listen to America. Don't listen to Hollywood. You don't have to have it nipped, tucked, pulled, sagged, sucked out. You don't have to do that. It's all right. Are we still preaching? Don't buy into that. I mean, the Bible says the righteous should be made fat. How many's trying to live out that scripture? You know, to honor somebody is to show respect. It's to esteem. That's what it means to honor somebody. Young people, younger people need to honor older people. Well, I don't like what they do. I didn't say you have to like what they do. You need to honor them, because how you treat them really speaks about how you feel about your future. It's not about their actions. We need to quit treating people according to their actions or their non-actions. That's good. Stop treating people according to how they behave. God doesn't treat us according to how we behave. Hallelujah. If he treated us how we behave, Jesus would not have died on that cross we sang about this morning. He died on a cross to love us out of how we are behaving. And I tell you what, it works with old people too. You can love them out of crankiness. Amen. And you know, older people, you can love young people out of what they don't know yet. When you look at honor and you look at related words, you talk about admiration, adoration, devotion, acknowledgement, compliment, recognize, regard. But the opposite words of that are contempt, despite, disdain, scorn, disregard, neglect, slighting. If we had time this morning, I would get you to write down the words to say, how are you really treating another generation? Honestly. Why would I do that? Because I'm telling you, I believe we bought into a lie in a cultural thing that's not a biblical culture. We need to honor one another. When we do, we're honoring who God has made, his image, and we can love them out of that behavior. The Bible says this. It was interesting in Leviticus. It says, show your fear of God by standing up in the presence of elderly people and showing respect for the aged. I am the Lord. In the Old Testament, the Bible tells, when old people stand up, when old people walked in the room, young people stood up. You know, I still do that a lot. I think I must have been taught that being in the South. But I think it's really cool. Why? It's because I honor you for hanging around. You're still here. And I respect that. You can show, little things that we do can really show a lot of respect for people. When a young person honors an elderly person, they're really respecting God, and they're honoring and respecting their own future. Look at that slide one more time. I just want this to get, look at that. I want that to get in your mind. It's generations. Not my generation, generations. Children of Israel are thinking about following a pagan god. David, who had murdered, who had lied, who had committed adultery, but always kept coming back to God. How many would say there's not a person alive that's ever lived perfectly right except Jesus? But check this out. David had led the children of Israel for years. Now his son's in charge, and all this is going on. The children of Israel's thinking about going another way. David didn't get up and shame them. He didn't, you should know, but he didn't do that. You know what he did? David stood up and he was living something out in that moment of his life. As an old person, he was living something out, and he spoke it with a few words and turned a nation back to God. He said this, I've been old. I've been young. He said, now I'm old. I'm a sage. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And he sat down. I want you to know that's powerful. when an old person stands up and talks about the faithfulness of God, that means something. Because they've had opportunity to get bitter, they've had opportunity to stop. Maybe they did stop, but God didn't stop in their life, which caused them to not stop in faith in Him. Older people talk about what God has done. It's worth listening to, young people, because it's your future. And you need to know that God is faithful now, and you need to know that God will be faithful later. Proverbs says this, "The glory of young men is their strength." And the honor of old men is their gray hair. Everybody say, gray or gone, I'm good with it. It is so funny. 16 years old, my son looked at me. And he was working out. At that time, the kid, he was silly strong for a kid. And I mean, he came and said, "Dad, he's always called me Paul. I still don't know what's up with that. It still kind of confuses my." He said, "Paul." I said, "What, son?" He said, "Bench pressed 315 pounds today, and he pushed me right there, and it hurt." And I just looked at him, and I'm looking at his chin, and what I know is he doesn't think I'll hit him, but I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going to have you on the floor in about 5 seconds. I really evaluated whether I just needed to hip him. You know, sometimes he's... young people just need help. It's going to help him. I thought, but if I miss, this might not be good. And young people brag about their strength. Let them, because that's what they have right now. But how many know, the older you get, it's not strength anymore. There's something about wisdom. In other words, you're supposed to be learning as you go. So what we do, they come and push us around with their muscles, and we work on their minds. Remember the days of old. Listen to this. Look what God says. Consider the years of all generations. Ask your father, and he will inform you. Your elders, and they will tell you. Some of the most wonderful words older people can hear from younger people is, "Tell me about when you were 22. How was God for you when you were 22? How was God in your life when you were having a tough time in marriage? What did you find to be true about God then?" Ask them. Ask the generations before you and hear the wonders of God. There's another scripture in Psalm that says this, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit." Everybody say, "in old age." Ready? "In old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, 'The Lord is upright. He is my rock.'" Who do I go to? Who do I lean on? Jesus. I'm telling you, here's who you listen to, young people. Here's who you listen to. Old people that talk about Jesus. That's who you listen to. Now, older people that just want to tell you how to live all the time, you can listen to some of it, but I'm a little bit more cautious, because the idea is, the older we get, hey, we're about to leave this earth, right? We're going to see Jesus. Older people that want to talk about God, they don't have to cry, but you can tell they're in love with God. They've not gotten bitter, but they've gotten better. They've been shaped by God over a lifetime. That's who you want to listen to. This is what Genesis says about Abraham. He breathed his last, died in a ripe old age, an old man and satisfied with life. And he was gathered to his people. You know, it won't be a lot longer before my mother leaves this earth. We don't know how long. But there's an investment on the other side for my mom. She'll be gathered to her mom, her dad. That's real. Do you believe in heaven? If you believe in heaven, it makes the dying process a lot more tolerable. There are some days that it's sad. There are some days that it's hard. But we know that what we see, it gets better than this. It gets better than this because of God. I hope this scripture will be true of me, that when I get old, my daughter's concerned I'm going to be a dirty old man. I don't know where she got that. We're praying and talking. But I want to be a funny old man. Right? I want to be an old guy that, I mean, mess the grandkids up. There's nothing sweeter than hearing the pitter-patter of their feet coming in the door, and there's nothing better than watching that taillight go when they go home. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness in this room? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What's it take for the generations to come together and learn from one another? A foundation called the Uncommon Individual Foundation for trying to help people be uncommon. In other words, have the color in their life that God created them with. Said this, there must be a dream. And they define it this way. Somebody's got to have a dream, a goal, an ambition, a vision, a plan. I remember as a young man, seeing what God wanted to do messed me up because I didn't have the ability or the skill set to engage what I saw in my spirit. So I'd go to old guys and I'd say, how did it work for you? What did you do when you were bursting with vision but you didn't know how to get there? Well, the first, quite a few told me, just pray about it, just pray about it. In other words, they didn't know what to say to me. But then I found some men that said, this is what I did. And you know what? It was always real simple. It was never profound and deep. It was always real simple. There's got to be, for generations to come together, there's got to be a dream. Somebody's got to be seeing what God wants done. Second thing is this. There must be someone who believes in the person with the dream. Older people, one of the most powerful things you can do is trust young people. You don't have to tell them how to live or how to do it. Just know that the God that helped you will help them. Somebody's got to believe. Somebody else has got to believe in that dreamer. Then you know what the last thing is this? Be determined. That means hang on to God because He's hanging on to you.
The thing with generations is that one generation uses all they have to help the next generation become all they're to be. That's the goal. And it goes both ways. That's not just old to young. That works both ways. The thing we want you to hear this morning is older, younger people, enjoy and honor older people. Now you say, well, who's older? Anybody older than you? Anybody older than you? Enjoy and honor the years that they've lived. Now we want to turn it around the other side because this is near and dear my heart. Is older people, you need to enjoy and bless young people. Enjoy and bless. Now, I thought about this word because it's almost become a fun thing. In the church, we use the word bless a lot. Bless your heart. We'll end our emails blessings. And we'll say, God bless you. And what does that mean? It's just kind of churchy language. But what does the word bless really mean? Well, I have the definition for you. Because the word blessing is actually an inheritance. It's that which is bestowed or given as a benefit. It's a gift, contribution, to bestow divine favor on, with the implication that the verbal act itself constitutes a significant benefit. Remember that, because we're going back to it. An expression or an utterance of good wishes. It's the act or words of one that blesses. Approval, to speak well of, give encouragement. Like a flower cannot grow unless it has necessary elements of life, like healthy soil, air, water, light, and a secure place where roots can be established. Younger generations must have the elements of blessing. They must have the blessing of elders. They must have healthy environments, mentoring, and a secure place to grow. Older people, do you hear that? They must have a secure place to grow. They must have a place where they can make mistakes and not be scolded. They must have a place where they can lead and mess up royal. And we love and encourage rather than demean or degrade. Younger people must have a safe place to try out the wings that we're giving them. So how do we bless the young? Here's some real practical things. Meaningful touch. Now, we live in a society anymore where I could say this, and it's almost uncomfortable for us to say this, and to the point that we've almost gotten a little bit uncomfortable even with touching one another, especially of mixed genders, because of our mixed up society. And the thing that I hate is the devil always destroys what God means to be a powerful thing. And do you know that you're made, your sensations and your nerves are meant to feel touch? The power of touch, it's an incredible thing. We teach it for marriages. If you find yourself growing apart, hold hands. Seriously, the power of meaningful touch. But because touch has been abused in our world, people have withdrawn and isolated from one another. And it's causing something to happen that disturbs me. Because I read once that one of the things that Hitler did when he was trying to create a perfect race was he caused children to be born, put into a nursery, and they were told not to touch them lest they defile them, and only to give them their bottles and hold them up, but never touch the child because they would defile them. And within 2 years, every baby had either died or was mentally insane. Because of powerful, meaningful touch. You know, for a young person, for you to come up as an older person and just put your hand on a shoulder, just pat the back. For some children, if they dodge, it's because every touch they've ever known has never been a touch of love. And the church of all places needs to be a place where it's safe and where there's meaningful touch. It's a blessing. The second thing are spoken messages. Young people need to hear you say, "I believe in you." You hear that? Young people, no matter how young, if they're younger than you, they're young. Okay? Every younger person needs to hear an older person say, "You're going to make it. It's going to be okay. We're going to be here with you, and we're going to walk through this together." We need to have older people who are attaching high value to young people. This one's important to me. We must say to younger people, "You have value and we need you." I love this front row filled with young people. And it needs to be said to them, "We need you here. Not just we want you here, we need you here. We need your life. We need your vibrancy. We need to stay connected to the world by watching you." Sometimes we completely lose touch with the world we live in because we're not watching the younger people that are living in it more than we are. We need to attach high value to them so that they know their life matters, that they are worth something of high value. We need to picture for them a special future. You need to tell them, "I see promise in you." There's promise in every person, but you need to point it out individually, because what I find is most people have no problem believing, "For God so loved the world." The problem comes is when you put their name in there and you make it personal. So when you begin to say, "I see promise in you," and you don't have to go there alone, we'll help you. And we'll make an active commitment to walk beside you. And this is where the church comes in. Because some younger people don't have family generations who believe in them and will help them get to where God's called them to be. And they need you, church. I love the fact that I've got moms in the church, and I've got grandmas in the church, and I've got grandpas in the church, and I've got uncles in the church, and none of them are my blood relatives. But they're family to me, and they've given me value. You have to enjoy what is different. Now hang in here with me just a few minutes. Instead of being critical of what is different, could we learn to appreciate the differences from generation to generation? That generation gap thing should never be in the church. We need to learn to appreciate. I stay young because I hang out with young people. I learn to think a little bit more flexibly than I would if I just hang out with my crowd. I've learned technology because I hang out with young people. I'm not rigid in my thinking because I hang out with young people and I continually grow and learn. Now, do I like everything I see in them? No. But you know what always keeps me from saying something about it? Is I remember back about 25 years ago, and suddenly I have this realization that what goes around comes around. And the things that my parents didn't like in me at all about the music I listened to or the way I thought, the culture I was growing up in, I come to understand that every generation gets to that place. And you have a choice. You have a choice. And parents and grandparents, if you'll hear me just a moment, our young people are growing up in something I can't even fathom. When I sit and listen to teenagers today, my mind is blown. Because the culture they're growing up in, I didn't think we'd ever see. But we're here. What are we going to do about it? If we isolate them, we take them from being the very salt and light Jesus has called them to be. We should insulate them, not isolate them. And when you insulate them, you put such strength and power on the inside that no pressure from the outside can ever destroy them. But when you isolate them, you make them vulnerable that eventually they have to live in the world and they don't know how. There's a sub called the thresher, and this is the very principle. It collapsed because the pressure on the inside could not withstand the pressure on the outside. When we insulate younger generations, they withstand no matter the pressure and become brighter light and better salt than ever before. And that's up to us. What do we see in them? There's a wonderful picture of this about David and Saul. And I say every generation has its own style of clothes. Although I will say that I see 70 stuff everywhere in stores today. If I'd kept my outfits, I wouldn't have to buy a thing because they've all come back. They just wouldn't fit quite the same. But one of the things that I found about this generation in clothes, it's not a new thing. David and Saul face the same thing. Saul's been the king, and David comes along, and he says, "What's the problem? I'll go after him." That's always bothered me, that we've sent a kid out to do what a million moms with wooden spoons could have taken the dude out. I mean, think about it. All the hills are filled with the Israelites. All moms had to do is grab an iron skillet, and the guy would have been gone. So it's been a problem for me that we sent a young person out there to do our work. But we did just the same. And what happens is David gets to Saul, and look at this, young people, he honored his elder because Saul put his armor on him. And David didn't push it back and say, "No way, man, that won't fit me." He tried it on. In fact, he tried to walk around in it, I think. And he looked at Saul and he said, "This won't work for me." And I love what he said. Now, elders, listen to this. "I have not proven it." Saul, what he's saying is, I know it works for you. You've proven it's worth to you. And it worked for you. The way you did church, the way you fought Goliath, the way you lived your life, it worked for you. Your style of clothes worked for you in the disco. But it won't work for me because I've not proven it. But let me tell you what I've proven. I have this little slingshot and these five rocks that I picked up out of the brook. And I've been caring for my dad's sheep. And you know, there was a time that a lion came and a bear came and I tore them apart with my bare hands. I've taken more wolves out with this slingshot than I care to count. I have proven my slingshot and I've got to go with it. Now, I got to tell you, parents and grandparents, if I had been Saul, I would have been a nervous wreck. I'm going to send a kid out to fight a giant with a slingshot? Now, first of all, have you ever stopped to think about Saul's position here? What do you think all the armies of Israel thought when they saw him allowing the boy to go to battle without armor on? Not only was David at risk, Saul's at huge risk here. But Saul trusted that young man. Elders, did you hear that? Saul trusted that young man because he already knew him. And he sent him into the battlefield with a slingshot. And the power of God. And because of that, there was no issue. Nobody got onto Saul when Goliath was dead. Nobody fussed about Saul letting David be different when Goliath was dead. Older people, you need to bless the young. Bless the young and let them wear the armor that fits them. Let them do it the way it's been proven for them. Because you see, every generation is responsible to reach its own. Every generation is responsible to reach its own. So how do we do this relationship thing? How do we really work with one another? Well, Paul, in writing to his son Timothy in the faith, he said this. He said, Timothy, you're a young pastor. Here's how I want you to do it. In the household of faith, you look at the older men as your father, and your younger or your older women as your mothers. The younger men are like your brothers, and the younger women are like sisters, because it's a household of faith. And how many know that you can have sibling fusses and fights in the household of faith? And you can have struggles between moms and sons and fathers and daughters in the household of faith. We can still be a little dysfunctional because we're still humans. It still happens. But he's reminding him how to treat one another. And here's the reason why. He knows that when the Holy Spirit came and the church was born in Acts 2, there was a prophetic word that Peter gave that addressed all of the issues of mankind, from our gender biases to our generation biases to our ethnic biases. And he said it like this. Joel had prophesied it. In the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. There won't be any more of the male-female curse, because your sons and your daughters will prophesy. There won't be any more of the generational curse, because the old men will dream dreams and the young men will see visions. And so their dreams and visions will be fulfilled through one another. And oh, by the way, the social class, which can be ethnically connected, I'm going to pour out my spirit on them, was servants, male and female. And this is going to be the new household of faith, where on every human being, young, old, red, yellow, black, and white, male and female, I'm going to pour out my spirit. And they're going to prophesy, and they're going to show the world what I look like. And everything they've experienced from the curse for thousands of years is no longer in place. It's been eradicated. Because the new household of faith means, from the youngest child to the oldest grandma, you will share the wonderful works of God. That's God's plan from generation to generation. Are you telling a story? Whatever your age. Older, you can teach the younger. Younger, you can teach the older. We can learn from one another the story of God. There's a song that Tommy Walker sings that I'm going to conclude with this morning. The pastor's going to come. And I want us to, it's kind of quick, has a lot of words, and you can learn it. The chorus is real catchy. The team's done great to learn it this morning. So I'm going to scream it out, squeal it out, or squawk it out, because I don't sing anymore. And once I've preached, I sure don't sing anymore. But I want to sing this as a testimony of what God is calling us to pass it on from generation to generation. As you get the chorus, you can pick it up and sing with us. Every generation, they will tell their children of your awesome power and your mighty acts. They will tell the stories of your faithfulness and glory.
And we will pass it on to all who've yet to come, how you've been slow to anger and also rich in love, that we may celebrate the wonders you have done.
Giving them glory, honor, blessing and praise, together we'll pass it on, the greatness of your reign.
Indescribable are all your righteous deeds, incomprehensible is your unrivaled power, and all your promises stand eternally. Upholding those who fall, uplifting those bowed down, you are near to all when it's to you we call. So we now shout your name, we celebrate your fame. Stand, let's sing this morning,
giving the glory, honor, blessing and praise. Together we'll pass it on, the greatness of your ways. Give you the glory, honor, blessing and praise. Together we'll pass it on, the greatness of your reign.
Going to come and close in prayer, but could we do something? Would those of you from the outside move to the middle, and would you join hands with those around you all the way across the aisles as a symbol of this? Together we commit an active commitment to pass on the story of God from generation to generation. Lord, we will stand and tell of your mighty acts and give you glory and praise.
Amen. You know, Destiny Church, we've been, over the last several weeks, we've been talking about our vision statement. I didn't even go over with them what we've been speaking about. But the last part of our vision statement always is what? To teach others to do the same. And this message falls right in that part of that statement because it's a part of who we are. It's having people teaching others to do the same. How to passionately love God and how to love your neighbor as yourself. And what an awesome thing. You know, one of the things I love about Destiny Church is we're a multi-generational church. Even though we have a young modern focus, we have a multi-generational church, which tells me that those who come in who are an older generation than I am, they have the same heart to reach the next generation. And so in that, we've created an atmosphere that has allowed Destiny Church to flourish and to grow because there's no generational battles here. And I love that. And we want to keep that spirit alive. What an awesome word that we would grow old and pass it on. And what an awesome thing mothers and dads today would take that and pass it on to our next generation and be supportive. And some of you here, even though you're not considerably old, there's a lot of people here younger than you are, and they need that word of encouragement. They need that hand of love and just to speak it out, the vision, to hear them and to encourage them. I believe the best is still yet to come. How do you believe the best is yet to come?
Yes.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you today. We thank you for this word that's been spoken out from our leaders. And Lord, we receive that now through our heart. May we take it, Lord. May we grow old with grace and with boldness in your spirit. Even though our bodies may slow down, our minds will not. Our spirit will stay young. We will be encouragers. We're people who encourage and empower the next generation to come along. Lord, we don't have it figured out, because there's going to be those who come along beside us in a short time. They're going to do it differently. We're going to have to be flexible. And may we pray that in Destiny Church, in the DNA of who we are, that we never get married to a style, we never get married to a method, but may we always be married, that the gospel never changes, even though methods change and style change, the gospel never changes. And may we continually be people who tell people that Jesus loves them and they have a hope for their generation. And God, we grab this word today. We submit it in our hearts and we say together, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Very quickly, just go back to your seat. I wanted to do one more thing before we leave today. As you're going back to your seat, I'm going to dismiss you real quick here. But before we do that today, we want to honor our guests with a love offering. And our ushers are going to be coming in just a minute. If you need an envelope today, if you would like an envelope, if you're giving cash and you would like tax credit for that, you can let them know they have envelopes with them that can give you one of those. But if you're writing a check out, just want to give us, fine. But before we pass out those out, guys, hang on one sec. We're going to pray. Today, we appreciate our national leaders being here today. And they travel. They don't ever ask for an honorarium. They don't ever ask for any of these things. But some places they go, they go places maybe they can't afford to treat them very well. And other places are able to treat them well. Until today, we want to do the very best that we can. The scripture is very clear about us honoring those who come and who present the word of God to us. And we want to do that today. And so let's bow our heads where we're at. We want to bless them to the best of our ability. I'm going to invite everyone today to give if you can. Just put something in plate. But let's just ask the Lord. Father, today, what would you have us to sow as seed into their ministry and bless them? Lord, 100% of this offering is going to go to them and their ministry today. So I just pray that, Lord, today that you would tell us what you want us to give. Speak it to our heart today. Now may we be quick to obey what you just spoke to our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, they're going to pass these out real fast as they pass out the buckets today. We're going to close in just a second. Sing that through one more time. Praise team, would you? Put the words back up there, Garrett, if you would.
Give you the glory, honor, blessing, and praise. Together we'll pass it on, the greatness of your praise.
How many today are thankful for a generation that's passed it on to you? Man, yeah? I am thankful for all of our grandmas and grandpas here today that have sacrificed and have given so much. And I tell you what, we appreciate you so much. We appreciate everyone here so much, and especially those who are coming who maybe have already begun to get gray. If you look close enough, my wife cuts my hair, you find a few of those coming in already, so I'm starting to gain a little bit of wisdom, okay? You notice I shaved my goatee. That's because I had too much gray starting to come in my goatee, so I had to get rid of it. Either that, the eyeliner was running down my face too much. I had to quit coloring it in, so just got rid of it. So anyway, I'm there, Gary. I can jump just a little bit higher, though. I can still get up a little bit higher, not as high as I used to. Well, today, Justin comes today and closes out in prayers. Justin's coming today. Let me give you just a quick announcement. We're going to talk more about this over the next few weeks. At the end of the month, we're bringing to a close our Dave Ramsey. And I'm really excited. Next week, I'm going to show you some more promotional material on this. We're going to be doing Marriage on the Rock with Jimmy Evans. Excellent, excellent material. We're going to be kicking off that in June and July. It's a 10-week study for marriages. For those of you who want to be having stronger marriages, we had a great turnout last weekend to our marriage retreat. We're going to build off that, continue to have those coming out. We'll have other things we'll be offering in the building as well. But for those of you who are married and would like to strengthen your marriage, we're going to have a 10-week study on Wednesday nights called Marriage on the Rock with Jimmy Evans. It's just a great thing. We're going to tell you more about that. So mark it on your calendar, just a little FYI, so you know what's happening. All right, everybody's got to take up the offering. Great, we're doing good. Justin's going to come. He's going to close us out, so they're giving you a chance to get to the front and shake your hand. So Justin, close us out in prayer today.
All right, let's bow. God, we thank you so much for the word that we heard today. God, we thank you, God, for generations and for generations. God, we thank you that you are a God who loves us. And, Lord, you've been so good to us, God, that we can't help but pass it on, God, the wonders of your ways, God. And so, Lord, we pray that as we leave here today, God, that word would burn into our hearts, God. Lord, that we would honor those that we come into contact with, God. That we would respect, God, and look for you in everyone that we meet, God. And that we'd never forget, God, to pass it on. And God, we also pray that you would bless every mother, God. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless the memories of mothers, God. And Lord, that you would help our hearts to still rejoice in the memories that we have. And God, we bless you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.